À vous la parole. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. I will start with a brief opening statement, and then we can go to your questions. Today's announcement that the government plans to increase the accountability of the MUSH sector marks the beginning of historical change in Ontario that has been 35 years in the making. L'annonce faite aujourd'hui par le gouvernement disant qu'il s'apprête à renforcer la responsabilité du secteur MUSH marque le début d'un changement historique en Ontario, un changement qui s'est fait attendre depuis 35 ans. 35 years ago this month, my predecessor, Arthur Maloney, the province's first ombudsman, completed a report on the startup of his office in which he said a huge mistake was made to exclude the broader public sector from oversight scrutiny. He called for the ombudsman's mandate to be, and I quote, extended to include such organizations as hospitals, universities, boards of education, nursing homes, and other such bodies financed in whole or in substantial part with public funds, unquote. At that time, Ombudsman Maloney's office was already receiving about 500 complaints every year about municipalities and these other bodies would have to turn them away. Today, even after 35 years of turning them away, we still receive more than 2,000 MUSH sector complaints per year. Our hands are tied. We cannot help citizens with their problems. Citizens expect the public institutions to be accountable. Our office hears them. We handle more than 20,000 complaints about Ontario government services every year. We can help you quickly resolve a bureaucratic glitch or dig into a huge systemic problem. But only if your problem is one of the 500-plus organizations that fall into our jurisdiction and not part of the MUSH sector. Yet I've always baffled Ontarians, including journalists, and honestly, quite even me, the Ombudsman's Office can investigate, for example, Hydro One, but not hospitals, lotteries, but not long-term care, correctional facilities, but not children's aid societies. And this is only in Ontario. No other province bars its ombudsman from looking into the MUSH sector. This bill is a chance to right that inequity. If passed, it will ensure independent oversight of all aspects of the provincial public sector. Wherever provincial tax dollars go, independent oversight should follow. And independent means reporting to the legislature directly, to all MPPs of all parties, not to the government or to a ministry. That is what an officer of the legislature like an ombudsman provides, and there is no substitute. If passed, this bill will finally open up the MUSH sector to scrutiny. My office will directly oversee municipalities, universities, and school boards, without restriction. There will also be a new patient ombudsman, and the existing provincial advocate for children and youth will have the power to investigate children's aid societies. S'il est adopté, ce projet de loi soumettra finalement le secteur MUSH à la surveillance. Mon bureau aura directement droit de regard sur les municipalités, les universités, les conseils scolaires. Il y aura aussi une nouvelle ombudsman des patients. L'intervenant provincial en faveur des jeunes et des enfants aura le pouvoir d'enquêter sur les sociétés d'aide à l'enfance. I'm pleased to have been consulted on this proposal and I welcome it. Our office has always worked with existing mechanisms. We are there as a last resort to go where they cut off and to ensure all of government is equally accountable to the people through the legislative assembly. I look forward to discussing the legislation in more detail when it is tabled in Parliament. I hope all parliamentarians will embrace it. At this point, I'm prepared to take your question.
Thank you. Merci. Please press star 1 if you have a question. If you wish to cancel the question, please press the pound sign. S'il vous plaît, faites étoile 1 pour poser une question. Si vous désirez annuler votre question, vous faites le dièse. There will be a brief pause while the participant register. Il y aura une pause pour la file d'attente. Merci de patienter. Thank you for your patience. The first question, la première question, Megan Thomas, CBC Radio, de CBC Radio. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Hi, Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, very good. Thanks for taking my question. Just on the municipality front, how do you envision this working? Because I'd imagine that people have many complaints about their municipalities, from snow clearing to garbage pickup. So what do you foresee investigating when it comes to municipalities?
There is no restriction in the amendment to the Municipal Act, the City of Toronto Act, except people would have to use existing mechanisms. Now, since 2008, every municipality in Ontario has had the ability to set up an ombudsman to deal with grievances that they face from day to day. Only one city has adopted an ombudsman, and that's the City of Toronto, because they were obliged to do it by legislation. In other words, no one has set up an ombudsman. And what I see in this situation is the Ombudsman of Ontario will have the ability to investigate council members, mayors, and the bureaucracy in local government across Ontario. And this is a huge development. You've seen over the last few months, every time you look at the paper, you see a series of issues at the local level, frauds, nepotism, conflict of interest, questionable expense claims, misbehaving mayors, some facing criminal charges, others facing criminal investigations. And I think that it's an area ripe for oversight. The province contributes $3.5 billion to municipalities with no strings attached. And they've had since 2008 to get their act together, and they haven't. And so we will make sure that municipalities are accountable. In dealing with the City of Toronto, where there is a municipal ombudsman, people will be expected to deal with her first, but then they will have the option to come to us as the final avenue.
Thank you.
Yes.
Merci.
Next question.
The next question, la prochaine question, Richard Brennan, Toronto Star. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Hey, Richard.
Mr. Grant, how are you, sir?
Very good. Yourself?
Good, thanks. We'll just touch a bit for a second on the Toronto Ombudsman. So you're saying they will be the first stop for anybody that might have a complaint. If their complaint isn't satisfied by the Toronto Ombudsman, then they can go to you? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And, you know, I think the beauty of this setup for the, I would call it the MUS sector, because we lost the H, the M, the U, and the S, is that, by all means, the municipalities, school boards, and universities are encouraged to develop their own dispute resolution mechanism. And I will respect that. You know, I'm not the person who's going to be chasing after potholes and streetlights, or I hope I won't. That should be resolved locally. But if there's a breakdown in the system, then there will be an avenue that people don't have now. Now we have people that have to bring conflict of interest lawsuits before the courts. That's acrimonious. It's expensive. Only those with deep pockets can do it. But what we hear from citizens of Ontario is that there are a lot of problems in local government. You know, Rome is burning, and they're all standing by with their hands in their pockets, and we haven't seen any real creative oversight mechanisms at the local level. You've seen conflict of interest commissioners. Some operate better than others. Some charge fees. We found in our experience of local government a chilling effect in charging citizens to complain, being more interested in finding out the names of complainants rather than finding out how can they fix a mess in their backyard. So what I see in this bill is the province stepping up to the plate and saying, you know, enough is enough. If Rome's burning, we shouldn't be standing by. We should be trying to help fix the problem. And it's going to be a huge responsibility for our office, but one that I think is long overdue.
Thank you. Merci. The next question is from Julie-Anne Lamoureux, Radio-Canada. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Bonjour, M. Marin. J'aimerais savoir, pour l'ombudsman du patient qui va s'occuper du secteur de la santé, est-ce qu'il sera suffisamment indépendant puisqu'il sera redevable à la ministre de la Santé et non pas à l'Assemblée?
Oui, malheureusement, c'est quelque chose qu'on ne voit pas dans le projet de loi, c'est que l'ombudsman des patients va être dans la fonction publique, ne va même pas se rapporter au ministre. Et c'est malheureux, sauf que rappelez-vous que lorsque le ministre de la Santé a discuté de la surveillance additionnelle pour ce secteur-là, il nous avait parlé d'une espèce de plaideur public et non pas un enquêteur. Et donc, lors de nos négociations, on a pu élever le poste pour donner à ce poste-là des vrais pouvoirs d'enquête. Malheureusement, ce poste-là se rapporte quand même à la fonction publique, sauf que nous surveillons le poste. Et je vais m'assurer d'appuyer tous les efforts du gouvernement pour trouver un candidat qui a la moelle épinière pour faire remplir la tâche très difficile d'être l'ombudsman pour les patients. Et puis nous serons là pour conseiller le candidat, de lui donner tout l'aide possible, et on va être là pour surveiller les registrants du bureau pour voir à ce qu'il n'y a pas de problème. What I just said in English is, in French rather, is that the patient ombudsman, unfortunately, reports to the bowels of the bureaucracy, not to the minister, not to the legislative assembly. But you will remember when Deputy Premier Deb Matthews first raised the prospect of increasing oversight for hospitals, she was talking about a patient advocate. And when we started meeting with her, you know, she put her foot down and said, well, it won't be you, so let's start with that discussion. And my response to the minister, well, fine, at least let's provide a real meaningful vehicle and not just a patient advocate that has no investigative ability. So then the position was upgraded to a patient ombudsman. So is it my perfect solution? It's not. Can this position have the potential to bring about real change and deal with patient complaints? Yes. And in my discussions with the Premier, she told me not to worry, that if this system doesn't work in a couple of years, she'd be happy to revisit it. So it's worth giving it a shot, and it's worth seeing where that brings us.
Thank you. Merci. The next question, la prochaine question, Adrian Morrow, Globe and Mail. La parole est à vous. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ombudsman. Apparently, Fiona Crean, the Toronto Ombudsman, is upset about this legislation because she's basically afraid that, you know, you're going to be able to review her investigations and launch your own investigations into the city of Toronto. And so I guess sort of a two-parter. I mean, number one, sort of how is the interaction going to be between you and the Toronto Ombudsman? How's that going to work? And number two, I mean, are you going to have sort of the power to send in your, you know, special Ombudsman response team, for instance, to the city of Toronto, without necessarily something having to go through the city of Toronto Ombudsman? I mean, will you have that power?
As to the first part of your question, I think it's important to take a step back. Perhaps when the city of Toronto Ombudsman sees the actual legislation, she'll understand that it's not about who gets what and who does what. It's about bringing greater good to this area. The city of Toronto Ombudsman does not oversee council, just the council bureaucracy. And it wouldn't make any sense if the city of Toronto would not fall within the same regime as the rest of the province. So we intend to defer to the city of Toronto the ability to deal with cases on her own. And I think she's done some good work dealing with how to deal with, you know, rude civil servants and, you know, trees crashing on people's property and that kind of thing. And we're not about to take over that jurisdiction. However, there will be additional safeguards for the City of Toronto. I don't think we want to deal with the City of Toronto as second-class citizens. They deserve the same kind of oversight that's blowing across the province. It just would not be fair to the City of Toronto. Secondly, will the SWAT team be able to investigate the City of Toronto? Yes, of course. And if we focus any of our resources, it will be on those top systemic issues. The oversight of the municipality also includes all the different boards within the city. For example, the Police Services Board. So it's going to be a huge leap in jurisdiction. It's going to allow Queen's Park to follow the money. You transfer $3.5 billion to municipalities. You better spend it wisely. You better work wisely. And you better take maladministration seriously. If you look at what's happening across municipalities these days, look at every newspaper even today. There's school trustees getting in trouble for harassment. There's hundreds of millions of dollars unaccounted for in the treasury of another municipality. There's issues of ongoing conflict of interest that have led to expensive royal commissions. And the beauty now is that people will have this avenue of going to the Ombudsman's office, and we will use SWORD as required to weed out that maladministration.
Thank you. Merci. The next question, la prochaine question, John McGrath, QP Briefing. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Thank you. Mr. Murray, is there any discussion about needing to expand the budget of your office with all of the expanded responsibilities you're going to have?
There has not been specific discussions except that the government realizes there will be additional resources required. I don't have a crystal ball to predict how much more it will be required to oversee budget, but I can tell you this. Municipalities get $3.5 billion. Universities get $3.5 billion. School boards get $23.2 billion. Added up, and you're talking about transfers of over $30 billion to these public service bodies. Whether they don't like it or not, my budget right now is $11 million. So hypothetically, say we double the budget, $22 million, to oversee how $30 billion is spent administratively is really chump change and is a very solid investment. And that's why virtually all the other provinces are way ahead of us. And with this deal implemented, I believe we will be going, Ontario, from the worst to nearly the first. And so I think it's good news for democracy. So you got to realize municipal government have elections every 4 years, and many citizens are under the impression that their local government considers democracy as a peak every 4 years. Well, democracy is constant, and the Ombudsman of Ontario has been watching the Ontario government since 1975. So we've come to a point where the Ontario government provides $30 billion to these three letters and much, and for all these years with this faith that it will be spent correctly, but there's a mounting aggravation on the part of the public that trust has been eroded. And our effort will be working on restoring that trust in local government. Next question.
Thank you. Merci. The next question, Alexandra Dundee from Humber News. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Hi.
Hello.
The Nunavut legislature will give you the ability to investigate universities. How does the expanded scope, what does this mean for university students in Ontario?
Well, it means it's a whole new era. This bill represents a renaissance in oversight in Ontario. There's no line in the sand anymore. Before, there was a line in the sand. And, of course, there may be people like the Ombudsman of Toronto who won't like to be accountable to a higher level of government, and I'm sure in AMO, the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, we're already squawking this afternoon. And I think you'll see a lot of administrators from universities and school boards and municipalities, bleeding and foot stomping and, oh my God, what's going to happen to the world? But I think it's all good news. Many universities already have their internal ombudsman. And again, just like we'll be working with the City of Toronto Ombudsman, we'll be working with the university ombudsman. And if they can deal with day-to-day issues from universities, we will defer to them. However, students will know that at the end of the day, there is always the provincial ombudsman out there to keep the system honest. And that's really what it's all about. I don't expect to be buried in the minutiae of day-to-day running of universities, but I intend to be there for issues that fester. I mean, if you look at the papers again today, the University of Ottawa is condemning this rising culture of rape on campus. They've disbanded the hockey team because of allegations of sexual assaults happening last couple of months. So these are severe issues that a university ombudsman may not be able to get to the bottom of. So I see a role in looking at systemic issues, cultural issues. That's what we do as an ombudsman when we look at systemic issues.
Thank you. Merci. Please press star 1 if you have a question. N'hésitez pas à appuyer sur l'étoile 1 pour toutes les questions ou commentaires. We have a question from Richard Brennan from Toronto Star. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Andre, I think you touched upon this, but AMO has already come out and said this decision basically, for this new oversight decision, basically meddles with their rights and responsibilities as municipalities. I think it says assigning oversight authority to the Office of the Ontario Ombudsman basically is transferring municipal accountability to the province. Now, do they have a legitimate concern here?
Well, you know what it is? AMO is a special interest group. And its job in life is to protect municipalities. So, of course, until they catch their breath and realize that this is good medicine, you're going to hear a lot of that. And from my perspective, AMO is the fox guarding the hen house. Of course they like the status quo. The status quo means no oversight in every city in Ontario except Toronto, which had it forced upon them. They've asked since 2008 to have an ombudsman. I think the province has been more than generous in its time. When you look at AMO's statement today, it's all about, oh, good governance, scrutiny, oversight, we're all for it. But where is it? Where is it? Another interesting point in this legislation that comes out that you will see is that we fix some of the problems with open meetings. I'm very happy to see this. The problem is the current regime allowed municipalities to opt out of our fine and free services, and about half of them have, so we oversee about 190 out of 444. And going forward with this new legislation here, municipalities will still be able to pick their own open meetings investigator. And I hope they all do, quite frankly. However, they cannot opt out of the ombudsman regime. We will always be there looking over the shoulder of their hand-picked investigator to make sure the investigations are rigorous, fair, and independent. What we've seen in some municipalities that have opted out is we've seen the mayor's relative or buddy hired as an investigator on a six-month contract. We've seen investigations that were conducted by integrity commissioners, which were weak. I've seen essays from my 15-year-old son in school that were more grammatically correct than some of the reports that I've read from these integrity commissioners. So, citizens are entitled to get good quality oversight. And the fact that we could keep the system honest was not there before. So municipalities, go out and hire your own people, make sure they're competent, make sure they put your feet to the fire, do their job properly. And if you don't do that, we'll be there and we'll take care of it.
Thank you. Merci. The next question is from Catherine Brulotte, Radio-Canada. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Merci. Bonjour, M. Marin.
Bonjour.
Comment c'est possible d'arriver à répondre à toutes ces nouvelles demandes-là dans le statut de votre bureau actuel? Déjà, les plaintes pouvaient prendre un certain temps avant de recevoir une réponse. Avec toutes ces nouvelles responsabilités, comment c'est possible, dans un délai raisonnable, de répondre à toutes les demandes?
Écoutez, il va falloir augmenter les ressources du bureau, il va falloir augmenter le budget, il n'y a aucun doute. Il va falloir y avoir beaucoup de planification dans les prochaines démarches. Le projet de loi n'a pas été introduit encore. Ça va être un autre 2 semaines au moins. Ensuite, le projet de loi va être à l'étude dans différents comités de l'Assemblée législative. Il va devenir loi, possiblement, dans le futur. Donc, on va avoir quelques mois pour planifier, pour aborder ces dossiers-là. On espère travailler de très près avec tous les autres organismes qui vont relever de notre compétence pour s'assurer qu'ils comprennent notre mandat. Et puis développer des bons liens de communication avec toutes les parties. Et puis, écoutez, on a de l'expérience. Ça fait 39 ans qu'on fait ce genre de boulot au bureau de l'Ombudsman. Donc, c'est quelque chose qu'il va falloir qu'on gère de très près. Et puis, je suis content d'avoir d'excellents résultats. Merci.
Thank you. Merci. The next question is from Adrian Morrow from the Globe and Mail. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Ombudsman, do you agree, I guess, with the decision of the government to create a different, health investigator rather than, just giving that power to your office? And do you think the fact that they decided to create a whole other position rather than giving it to you, I mean, do you think this shows that they're afraid of you or afraid of your investigations, having the health sector?
You know, when I left off with Premier Dalton McGuinty, just before he left, we were talking about increasing oversight over MUSH, and he wanted to give me hospitals, long-term care, and children's aid society. Was not interested in municipalities, universities, and school boards. And that's his prerogative. I mean, I'm pushing for MUSH. I want to increase accountability in MUSH, but the government of the day makes the broad public policy positions, decisions they make. Fast forward to government, Premier Wynne. They came around the other way. We'll give you municipalities, university school boards, but Deputy Premier Deb Matthews put her foot down and said, we're not giving you hospitals or long-term care and the CAS. And it struck me, I mean, it's their prerogative to do that. It's never been a turf battle. All I wanted was oversight. But it struck me, and I told this to her, and I told this to the Premier, that, it strikes me that the most vulnerable people in the MUSH sector are getting a Chevette, while the other less vulnerable people are getting a Cadillac. And that's when the Premier said, well, listen, we're off to this start, and in a couple of years, if it doesn't work, we'll re-examine whether it should be under your umbrella. Now, if you look at patients and long-term care, when this was first announced, it was announced as an advocate. And I told the minister, it's the wrong vehicle. You need to have something a lot more robust to deal with that. And the minister listened. And, I think was very sincere in her consultation with her office. And they created an office which has the backbone, I think, to make a difference. It doesn't have the independence of an officer of parliament, but it's a hell of a lot better than having nothing. And because we're still overseeing that office, we'll be there to help them out along the way. I don't want it to become an investigation, in the first couple of months. I want them to get off to a good start. I want to be involved in defining the position, if they believe so, helping select the candidate, getting them to go on the footing I want to see this succeed. And I'm going to be there to do that. Now, I think it is unfortunate that A, it's in the ministry, B, it's reporting at a mid-level in the ministry, not top echelon. So in my view, it lacks the status that it would be required. But in the end, we're still going to be there to keep an eye on it. As far as the CS is concerned, of course, we've been asking for it for 35 years. But in the interim, the Office of the Child Advocate was created. He is an officer of Parliament in his own right. And so he has the independence. So if they resource it right, they gave it the tools to that office, We'll be there to support him. And we wanted to succeed with him. Like I said, we thought we should have it from the get-go, but we're happy at least that it goes to another officer of parliament, and we're happy to share whatever expertise that he might want to get from us. And there's an important provision in this legislation as well, that we will be overseeing the implementation of his recommendations to the CAS. So he conducts investigation, reports back, makes recommendations to CAS. We'll be there to ensure that the CAS does not just pay lip service to his work. They need to start taking accountability seriously, and we'll be there to remind them of that. So if you look at the whole MUSH sector, basically the Ombudsman has his finger in every pot. In the three first letters, in a major way, I'd say probably my fingers right up to my my elbows, and in the rest, certainly a very decisive finger, and we go from having no role to this. So I think this is a huge step forward in giving citizens a voice. This has always been what it is, giving citizens a voice, restoring confidence in the broader public sector. And I think this is a great turn of events, and I support it as a package. And if I find that parts of that package don't work, I think you know that I will be blowing the whistle on it pretty fast.
Thank you. Merci. The next question is from Julie-Anne Lamoureux, Radio-Canada. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Monsieur Marin, j'aimerais vous entendre sur, en français, sur l'érosion de la confiance du public à l'égard des municipalités. Pourquoi c'est important que votre bureau ait droit de regard sur ce qui se passe dans les villes?
Je pense que ce qui s'est passé dans les municipalités depuis quelques années, ce sont des situations de conflit d'intérêts, des poursuites judiciaires, des enquêtes judiciaires, telles que l'enquête menée par le juge Cunningham à Mississauga. Il y a eu beaucoup de dépenses publiques sur des procédures judiciaires qui n'ont vraiment pas abouti à grand-chose. Et je crois que les membres publics, les citoyens d'Ontario, ont perdu en grande partie confiance dans l'administration locale de leur municipalité, que ce soit une question de conflit d'intérêts, fraude, népotisme. On a un maire en London qui subit un procès criminel en ce moment pour fraude. On a un maire à Toronto qui est sous enquête pour toutes sortes de criminels, pour toutes sortes de circonstances. On a des comptes de dépenses qui sont douteux, qui ont été fournis par d'autres conseillers municipaux. Donc, on voit qu'il y a beaucoup de soucis de la part des citoyens que l'administration locale se fait de façon satisfaisante. Et c'est un milieu qui est à l'écart du bureau de l'Ombudsman depuis 1975. Donc, je crois que c'est des bonnes nouvelles pour les citoyens qui veulent la redevabilité de leurs conseillers et de leurs maires de ville. Et puis, nous sommes là pour rendre ce service qui est très important.
Merci. Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. Nous n'avons plus de questions pour le moment. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Marin. J'aimerais maintenant retourner la parole à Monsieur Marin.
So thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for joining in on our conference call. It's been a real pleasure. And now it's time for me to go back to the beautiful beaches of Turks and Caicos. Take care.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation. La conférence est maintenant terminée. Veuillez, s'il vous plaît, raccrocher votre ligne et merci de votre participation.